Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Narayanam Namaskritya. Naram Chaiva Narottamam. Devim Saraswatim Vyasam. Tato Jayam Udirayan. Nasta Prayeshwa Bhadreshu. Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya. Bhagavati Uttama Shloke. Bhaktir Bhavati Naishtuki. We're reading this morning from Canto 1, Chapter 1, Text 12. Sutta Janasi Bhadram Te Bhagavan Satvatam Pati Devakyam Vasudevasya Jato Yasya Chakirshaya. Sutta Janasi Bhadram Te Bhagavan Satvatam Pati Devakyam Vasudevasya Jato Yasya Chakirshaya. Sutta Janasi Bhadram Te Bhagavan Satvatam Pati Devakyam Vasudevasya Jato Yasya Chakirshaya. Please chant. Sutta Janasi Bhadram Te Bhagavan Satvatam Pati Devakyam Vasudevasya Jato Yasya Chakirshaya. Sutta Janasi Bhadram Te Bhagavan Satvatam Pati Devakyam Vasudevasya Jato Yasya Chakirshaya. Sutta Janasi Bhadram Te Bhagavan Satvatam Pati Devakyam Vasudevasya Jato Yasya Chakirshaya. Sutta Janasi Bhadram Te Bhagavan Satvatam Pati Devakyam Vasudevasya Jato Yasya Chakirshaya. Sutta Janasi Bhadram Te Bhagavan Satvatam Pati Devasyam Vasudevasya Vaishnavis. Sutta Janasi Bhadram Te Bhagavan Satvatam Pati Devakyam Vasudevasya Jato Yasya Chakirshaya. Sutta Janasi Bhadram Te Bhagavan Satvatam Pati Devakyam Vasudevasya Jato Yasya Chakirshaya. Sutta, oh Sutta Goswami, Janasi, you know, Bhadram Te, all blessings upon you. Bhagavan, The personality of Godhead. Sattvatam of the pure devotees. Nampatihi, the protector. Devakyam, in the womb of Devaki. Vasudevasya, by Vasudev. Jataha, born of. Yasya, for the purpose of. Chikirshaya, executing. All blessings upon you, O Suta Goswami. You know for what purpose the personality of Godhead appeared in the womb of Devaki as the son of Vasudev. Srila Prabhupada's purport. Bhagavan means the Almighty God, who is the controller of all opulences, power, fame, beauty, knowledge, and renunciation. He is the protector of his pure devotees. Although God is equally disposed to everyone, he is especially inclined to his devotees. Sat means the absolute truth, and persons who are servitors of the absolute truth are called sattvatas. And the personality of Godhead, who protects such pure devotees, is known as the protector of the sattvatas. Bhadram te, or blessings upon you, indicates the sage's anxiety to know the absolute truth from the speaker. Lord Sri Krishna, the supreme personality of Godhead, appeared to Devaki, the wife of Vasudev. Vasudev is a symbol of the transcendental position wherein the appearance of the Supreme Lord takes place. Sutta janasi bhadram te bhagavan sattvatam pati devakyam vasudevasya jato yasya chikirshaya. All blessings upon you, O Sutta Goswami. You know for what purpose the personality of Godhead appeared in the womb of Devaki as the son of Vasudev. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. So, what would prompt these sages to ask or to give blessings to the speaker? Does that strike you as something out of the ordinary? The audience in this case is giving blessings to the speaker. Isn't the speaker supposed to bless the audience? I'm asking for your blessings also. Can anyone explain why? Does that strike anyone else as unusual here? Why they start like that? Yes. Yes, the previous speaker. Yes. So this is a junior. It's a new speaker coming in. So they're saying blessings. Yes, that's one consideration. Have you discussed that pastime about Sutta recently? Okay, so I won't go through it. Such a nice pastime. But yes, Sutta is here representing his father, Rama Harshan Sutta. Okay, and it's mentioned earlier how he was expert in most of the Vedic texts, except some corollaries. Certain things the sages were saying. You are very knowledgeable about almost everything. So yes, so they're giving their blessings. What else? Yes? Because they're great devotees themselves, yes. This is a very interesting point. So Sutta Goswami is getting all these questions from these very, very seasoned sages, many of whom would be equal or even more qualified. And yet there's no sense of competition or enviousness. They're just giving their blessings. May you be successful. Please enlighten us. You know, this is such a deep point of Vaishnava culture, because especially in the mode of passion, we're very competitive, right? Very competitive. And that competitive nature is not always compatible with spiritual life. I saw a cartoon once of a man was crawling up the side of a mountain to speak to some yogi, elderly bearded yogi on top of the mountain. And the man's crawling up and he's saying, I made my first million when I was 25. I owned 3 companies by the time I was 30. I've given it all up. I've come here to the Himalayas, and I want to become the best damn guru in the business. We have experienced that in our Sangha, especially in the earlier days, right? There's the sense of climbing the ISKCON corporate ladder, and you'd be a Sankirtan leader, a temple president, a GBC, sannyasi. You know, there's this sense of hierarchy, which is really not at all what spiritual life is about. These are all services. They're not positions. They're not reflective of one's spiritual advancement by any means. So Jayananda Prabhu, for example, was the king of Rath Yatra. But as far as his service, he was always taking out the trash. He was fixing the cars. All the devotees would gather in Prabhupada's room. Prabhupada would say, "Where's Jayananda?" "Oh, he's out in back taking the trash out." So he would call Jayananda in his overalls, and he had such a great affection for him. So the point is not that we are not earning spiritual merit by our position. We earn spiritual merit by our devotion. And that is what Krishna is interested in. Desham satata yuktanam bhajatam priti purvakam. Dadami buddhi yogam tam jainamam upiyantite. This is how Krishna blesses the devotee, not by anything other than one's sincere desire to please him. He says, "For one who is constantly devoted and worships me with love, I give the intelligence by which they can come to me." And this is also very significant. The blessing that Krishna gives for one who is sincerely devoted is the intelligence by which one can come to him. It's not that Krishna immediately reveals himself, but he gives the intelligence if the devotee is willing to apply it. He gives the roadmap. He gives the means by which one can apply that sincerity. So in the Christian faith in which I was raised, there's this great dilemma about faith or works. One of my godbrothers, Rabindra Sarup Prabhu, used to go and give classes at a Christian seminary in Pennsylvania. And they invite him to come every year for the world religions class. So as they were walking to the class each year, the professor would kind of loiter by this Hinduism display they had in the hallway. And in the Hinduism display was a bed of nails. Like yogis would demonstrate their detachment and self-control by lying on a bed of nails and being unaffected. So the professor would kind of linger there, like subtly saying, "In our faith, we don't have to do things like this." And that's their theology. It's by grace only, not by works, lest anyone should boast, it says in the Bible. So his conception was that Krishna consciousness, or what Rabindra was representing, was just this very austere path where you're trying to achieve self-control and torture your flesh and prove your detachment. And from his point of view, we don't have to do any of these things. We just need the grace of the Lord. So in that verse from the 10th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says very clearly, no, it's both things. For one who is constantly devoted, who gives constant devotion and worships me with love, I give the intelligence by which they can come to me. Just like if you want to go somewhere and you check your GPS, then you get the directions. You get the means. Without the directions, you don't have the means. But when you have the directions, you know where you're going. Then, if you have the will, you can go. So this is the blessing that Krishna gives to all of the devotees. He reciprocates with our desire to please him. And he gives us the means, if we're sincere, to come to him. So this whole idea of blessings is so interesting. You know, there are so many different ways to bless people. Once a young man in the audience asked Srila Prabhupada after his lecture, "So you're saying we could become dogs, but the dogs are free. They get to run. They get to be themselves. What's wrong with being a dog?" And Prabhupada said, "You have my blessings." When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was present, the great blessing all the devotees desired was to see him, just to have his association. So there was one devotee, Mukunda Dutt, who was associating with some impersonalists, innocently, but nonetheless associating with them. Now, association is a subtle thing. You know, association means more than just physical proximity. There's a story in the Heat Upadesh about the crocodile and the monkey. You know the story. So they were always fighting. They were always insulting each other. Then one day the crocodile swam up to the edge of the river where the monkey was sitting on a tree and said, "You know, we've been arguing so long, I think we should be friends. Why don't we be friends? I'd like to be your friend." And the monkey was pleased. He said, "Yes, let's stop our fighting. Let's be friends." And the alligator said, "Thank you so much. In fact, I would like to invite you over to my house for lunch today, friend." And the monkey said, "Thank you very much. That sounds great. But you live in the middle of the river. How will I get there?" "No problem, no problem. You can ride on my back." So the monkey hops down, gets on the alligator's back, and he's swimming out towards the middle of the river. Then he starts getting nervous. And he says to the alligator, Friend, what are we having for lunch today?" The alligator says, "We're having heart of monkey." And the monkey says, "Oh, my friend, why didn't you tell me? I left my heart back in the tree. But if you turn around, I'll go and gladly bring it for lunch." And so the foolish alligator turns around, the monkey hopped up, and stayed in the tree. So the moral of that story is you may associate with unspiritually minded people or ill-motivated people, but don't give your heart. Okay? So Mukundadatta was associating circumstantially with these impersonalists. But nonetheless, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was very displeased. So he said, "I don't want to see Mukunda. I will not see Mukunda." And the devotees, knowing how important the blessing of Lord Chaitanya's darshan was for Mukunda, said, "Please, forgive him. Let him come. He wants so much to see you." He said, "No, I will not see Mukunda. At some time, can you please just give him some hope? All right, in 10 million births, I will see Mukunda." So when Mukunda heard this news, he started dancing. "Arigo! I get to see the Lord in 10 million births. Only 10 million births to go." So hearing how Mukunda reacted, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu immediately forgave him. "All right, he can come. Mukunda, you are my dear singer, my dear devotee. Whenever you sing, I feel so happy." So the blessing of having this personal association is the first blessing, really, that we all hanker for in spiritual life. Just this is why we say darshan. You know, having association with advanced devotees, just having their association fills us with resolve, with courage, with enthusiasm. So we like to have that. We hanker for that association. Some of us are old enough, and we're fortunate enough, to get to see Srila Prabhupada personally. We got to see him give classes. We got to perhaps go on morning walks or darshans, right? And that makes us cooler than the rest of you, so. It is a unique blessing indeed. But again, the will has to be there. The will has to be there to take advantage of that blessing. Without the will, then that blessing of the darshan, it has very little meaning. So I had this opportunity to see Srila Prabhupada one time. And he was in Europe at the French farm. So our book distribution party, the library party, was going to go over and start doing the libraries in Europe. And no offense, Vivas, but the BBT bought me the cheapest damn ticket that could have been possibly purchased. It was on a charter airline from New York. And to make a long story short, I waited for 36 hours at JFK for that plane to finally take off. You know? And then I got there 2 days late. And my godbrother who was there said, "Where have you been? I just spent the last 2 days with Srila Prabhupada talking all about the library party." And by the time I got there were hundreds of devotees, and I was at the back of the line as usual. So I was always thinking, why? You know, why did Krishna deprive me of this benediction? And, you know, it was, in those days especially, that was the greatest nectar, right? To get, the greatest blessing was to get Prabhupada's personal darshan. So I had one other opportunity to have Prabhupada's personal darshan. And again, this is what we live for, just that opportunity. I mean, we're in awe of all these other God brothers and God sisters who got to be with Prabhupada so much all the time. We couldn't even imagine. So one time we were traveling, I was living in a van, traveling constantly, but we got our manager gave us 2 or 3 days off in Chicago when Prabhupada was there, so we could be around Prabhupada. So the Prabhupada's cook invited me to come and help him. And he taught me how to make sandesh. You know, sandesh just is a lot of repetitive labor. So I was working, making sandesh for Prabhupada. Then he said, "Would you like to offer Prabhupada's lunch?" I said, "Oh, thank you very much." So he told me how. I took the plate in, just me and Prabhupada in the room. Prabhupada looked at me, said nothing, put the plate down, said, paid obeisances, left the room as instructed, listened for the bell. Meant he wanted something more or he's finished. So then he rang the bell, I came in, paid obeisances, took the plate, he looked at me, said nothing. And then I left the room, and of course I'm thinking, now I've got Prabhupada's entire plate of remnants. Just the second I closed that door, immediately across the hallway, another door opened, Brahmananda Maharaj, 300 pounds. Where's Prabhupada's plate? But before he took it, I saw at least he ate some of the sandesh. So then the next day, my friend, the cook, said, he came up to me kind of sheepishly. He said, "You know, Prabhupada was upset." I said, "Why?" He said, why are so many men staying back from book distribution to cook for me?" So this was what Prabhupada was thinking. I'm thinking, I'm getting Prabhupada's association. Prabhupada's thinking, why isn't he going out doing some service? See? So the point of blessings is all about the consciousness. Prabhupada's blessing to me was actually the vani, right? The instruction, the blessing for us all. He would give the vapu, the physical association. But he said, this is for the less intelligent. You know, the instruction of the spiritual mentor are actually what's important. The physical association will come and go. And just having physical proximity with a great soul does not also make one a great soul. It's a chance to advance, but it doesn't in and of itself bring advancement. Like the Prabhupada gave the example of the king on the throne. If there is a bug on the throne, that does not make him the king. Even though he's very close by, he doesn't gain anything just in that physical proximity. So the blessings that we get from the parampara, from Lord Krishna, are in the form of his words and teachings. And if we take them to heart, then we can advance. To advance in spiritual life, we need various types of relationships, 3 to be exact. We need to associate with people who are our friends and our peers. And to them, we reveal our minds. We need to associate with people who are more advanced. And from them, we inquire and learn. And then we also need to associate with people who are newer and help them. This is the formula for spiritual health, to have all 3 of these relationships in our lives. Obviously, for those who are less advanced, we give blessings, we give encouragement. For those who are equally advanced, we make friendship. For those who are more advanced, we ask blessings. We ask for instruction. So that's why this verse is very interesting, how the sages are all saying, Bhadram Te, may you be blessed, giving their blessings to a person who's their teacher, their superior. But Krishna consciousness, spiritual life, it's not formulaic like that. The relationships between devotees, between spiritual practitioners are very rich and diverse. You know, always changing like a kaleidoscope. Always different moods manifesting. For example, when Krishna entered the wrestling arena of King Kamsa, there were tens of thousands of people watching. And everybody saw him in a different way, you know, according to their position. His friends saw him as their heroic leader. His parents and elders saw him as this very vulnerable boy who was going to be wrestling with these huge wrestlers. The ladies present saw him as the most beautiful, attractive male. And in this way, and Kamsa saw him as death personified. So everybody was seeing Krishna according to their own position. She said, this is very instructive. How Krishna blesses us according to our mentality. Yeyatam mam prapadyante tams tutaiva bhajamyaham. As they surrender to me, as they approach me, I reward them accordingly. This is the beautiful thing about bhakti yoga. You know, everyone approaches Krishna according to their individual nature. In fact, Krishna is so amazing that he makes so many living entities, and each and every living entity has a unique way to please Krishna. It's amazing, isn't it? You know, in a human body, there are, you know how many living entities are in a human body? There's 100 trillion in one human body. Thousands of times the population of the entire earth in one body. And only 10 trillion of them are human cells, by the way. You know, the living entity is present wherever there is birth, growth, duration of life, passing of byproducts, dwindling, and death, right? So every cell in the body is manifesting these symptoms. So just amazing that each and every soul has a unique relationship with Krishna. So how to uncover our unique relationship with Krishna? This is the path of self-realization. Not imposing some new kind of personality on our lives or new kind of identity, but uncovering what is already there. Nitya Siddha Krishna Prema Sadhu Kabunoi Shravanade Sude Chite Karya Udoi. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said that love of Krishna is dormant in the heart of every living being. It doesn't have to be injected from some outside source. And by the process of hearing and chanting, the heart is uncovered and that love of God becomes manifest. This is the process of self-realization. Just discovering our ecstatic love for Krishna. Now, to approach Krishna does not require dogma or faith. Faith is advanced. You know, faith is advanced. It's down the line. Nishtha comes after four other steps in this process of bhakti. But there has to be enough preliminary faith to try the experiment. That's all. You know, in science, there are three steps to the scientific method. Anyone know what they are? First is? No? Before observation is what? Hypothesis. Yes, first a hypothesis. And then observation, experiment. And finally? Conclusion. Yeah. Hypothesis, experiment, and conclusion. Very scientific. So the hypothesis is that Krishna is God and we're His eternal servant. And our happiness in life and fulfillment in life comes from establishing ourselves in that position and getting out of the position of trying to be the enjoyer of this material world. Then the experiment, that's up to the individual. If one experiments, hearing, chanting, associating with devotees, offering one's food to Krishna, avoiding intoxicants and things like that, few simple steps, then one can realistically draw a conclusion, objectively, scientifically. If one has not made the experiment, how can one make a conclusion? But people say, no, I don't want to accept any dogma. I don't want to accept any path. This is a real common mentality these days. I take from all paths, right? I take a little here, a little there, right? Maharaj? You've heard this, yes. So I'm eclectic. I'm like above committing myself to any one path. See, this is really a fear of commitment to any path, isn't it? It's really like I want to keep my options open. I don't want to get trapped. I don't want to become committed. Yeah. This is the challenge that we have in America in this day and age. You know? People look at devotees and say, oh, you're too committed to one path. You're too narrow-minded. You're too sectarian. One time a gentleman asked Prabhupada, what sect of Hinduism are you? And he said, we are the one with the absolute truth. What we're saying in Krishna consciousness is that if we just take Krishna's words, that is His blessing in our lives. just taking Krishna's words as they are and making the experiment, applying it, and then making a decision. That's all. It's not a question of, okay, now I accept this belief. Now I have converted to this religion. My late father used to, he could not see beyond this concept of my being a devotee. You know, okay, you've converted to this religion. So when I'd visit him, he'd say, well, are you allowed to eat this? Are you allowed to eat that? I say, you know, Dad, I can eat whatever I want. I just want to bless it before eating it. Is that all right? So they just look at devotees as... Actually, this is another interesting thing, isn't it, about relationships. People look at devotees in so many different ways, just like people looked at Krishna in so many different ways in the wrestling arena. They look at devotees in so many different ways. Some people see devotees as really interesting personalities, which they are. Some people look at devotees as fanatics, as extremists. Some look at devotees as people who could not make it in ordinary society. Right? Losers. People like Madhavendra Puri, the forerunner, predecessor Acharya of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he said, since I've taken up Krishna consciousness, he said, all my friends think that I'm frustrated. My family thinks that I've gone mad. My teachers, the wise philosophers, think that I'm a know-it-all. And wealthy people think I'm wasting my time. Basically, nobody appreciates what I'm doing. And still, I will not budge an inch in my determination to serve the lotus feet of Govinda, even though I'm unable to do it. So people cannot understand the devotees. Vaishnavara Kriya Mudra, the mind of the devotee is incomprehensible. Prabhupada said that when people see devotees, they see death personified. Because the devotee is saying, hey, your material life is not going to help you. It's not going to bring you the happiness you seek. And people, naturally, being very heavily invested in that, they say, oh, this is terrible. I can't go there. So all we're saying is, you don't have to give up your life, your career, your home, your family, any of these things. Just give up your miseries. Give up your miseries. Prabhupada said that we are trying to teach you how to enjoy. You want to enjoy, and you've been trying to enjoy in the same way for such a long time. Are you satisfied? Is it working? So the blessing of Krishna consciousness is just simply to teach us how to enjoy. The relationships we have with devotees, we enjoy those. Some equally advanced, some less advanced, some more advanced. We enjoy. All of those are sweet relationships. This is the blessing, the real blessing of the disciplic succession and the Lord in disciplic parampara. The vani, the instructions, and the association of devotees. So those are my thoughts on this verse. Any comments from this learned group of sages here in New Dwarka?
How book distribution is, you know, it's the movement's pulse as missionary activities, and how sometimes in book distribution we don't follow through with maybe the books that go out, and perhaps I've met a couple of devotees recently that have been giving their emails to people who are buying the books so they can follow up to cultivate them and build their Krishna consciousness.
That's a very good point. In other words, we are ready to establish relationships. Prabhupada commented on this, that we should not just go out and distribute the books. I don't know what's in them, but you read it, you'll be, you know. We need to read the books, and we also need to be willing to establish relationships with people. Yes, this is where it's so sweet. How many have experienced bringing a person into Krishna consciousness? Is it such a nice, sweet experience? You see the light bulb go on, you see the face become bright, you see the transformation that takes place. So in the very early years in the Krishna consciousness movement, Prabhupada's followers were quite young and inexperienced, and he really emphasized this, just give the book. But as the Bengali saying goes, because I ran naked when I was a child does not mean I should run naked now. Right? So we're meant to mature. Amara gyai guru hoi tara edesh. Everyone, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, everyone should become a spiritual master. What is a spiritual master? Just spiritual master is basically just being a devotee who's following the principles, who is willing and able to make commitments to relationships. Yes, I'm willing to make a commitment to this relationship. As long as you're interested in Krishna consciousness, I will help you. So Prabhupada, he said, all my disciples, he said, every man, woman, boy, and girl, he wants to all become spiritual masters. That's just basically the difference between giving a book or giving a book and really wanting to make a relationship with that person. Prabhupada was so expansive. Just one more point briefly, that in Mayapur in 1975, he was giving a class, and it was on Advaita Acharya's appearance day. So he was talking about Acharya. He said, everyone should become Acharya. He said, how many Acharyas do we have? 10,000. We have 10,000 Acharyas. And that 10,000 will become 100,000. And that 100,000 will become 1,000,000. And that 1,000,000 will become 10,000,000. And there'll be no shortage of Acharyas. So we're all blown away. Anyway, this was the path of maturing in Krishna consciousness. Thank you for bringing up that point. Swabhas Prabhu, would you?
Thank you for a nice class. On this principle of blessings, I was wondering how that idea of blessings applicable in Vaishnav etiquette or Vaishnav interaction association, because there's a lot of devotees say, oh, Prabhuji, give me your blessings. Now, you know, do we feel, okay, yeah, I bless you? Or, you know, like you know, there's different ways you can see that, but in Vaishnav etiquette, in Vaishnav association, how do we apply this blessing to a devotee?
Yes, we really, it's a wonderful question. We should really give blessings. You know, we're not getting any younger. If we don't start giving them soon, we're not going to have the opportunity to give them at all. Yes, devotee is magnanimous. We should just be quite willing to give blessings to others, even if we don't feel very worthy of giving them. Certainly if somebody asks for our blessings, why should we go into a long soliloquy about why we're not qualified to give them? You know, that's not exactly what the person is asking for. So a little encouragement. Yes, you have my blessings. Please be blessed. May Krishna bless you. You know, it is the duty of the senior devotees to give blessings to the younger. And, you know, we had so much chaos after Prabhupada's disappearance that a lot of us are kind of allergic about putting ourselves in positions of spiritual authority or leadership, right? And we saw it abused. We saw people not meeting their commitments. But those days are gone. And, you know, it's not about us, really. It's about the person who's asking for the blessings. For our blessings. Somehow or other, even though we feel unqualified, they're asking us for blessings. So if they're somehow illusion to ask for them, we can say, all right, take them. Yes, whatever I have, whatever blessings I can give you. That's my view on it. Maybe Archita, you can correct me here, Prabhuji. Or expand.
No question of correction, Prabhu. I just want to thank you for your very interesting presentation today. Thank you for coming and giving us your association and your blessings. Yes, this question comes up a lot about blessing, but just as a devotee, one who's really devoted to this path, understands that they're a conduit for Krishna's message, it's also we're asking Krishna to bless that person sincerely. If we do that sincerely, and Krishna responds to the desires of his devotees,
yes,
then that's how the blessing happens. We don't feel that we can bless anyone.
Exactly.
And you probably remember that story on the train of the young men who were pestering Prabhupada for Asirvad, for blessing. Swamiji, give us blessing. And then Prabhupada finally said, I bless you that you become like them, my disciples. And they didn't like that, so they ran away. So that's basically what we have to deliver. We have to deliver the message that Prabhupada gave us to others. And like you said, the message is a blessing. The vani is a blessing. And just one other thing. In the internet age, you know, sometimes we become so overly dependent on this email approach, give everybody email. Yes, we should do that. But we should understand that the outreach has been going on since the beginning. Every single book that we put out from the BBT has, if you're interested in this topic, subject matter, please contact the secretary. And people still do that. Mm-hmm. They still do that. Even without, because people are very suspicious nowadays when you ask for email. It's been abused so much. We know you get a lot of junk mail. As soon as you give some entity your email, you start getting all this junk mail coming in. So people are a little bit reluctant to give their email. Every book has that. Just one more thing. Yes. Trutakarma gave class recently, and he said that's how he came. He got a book at a concert, and it said contact the secretary, and he did. And that's how he finally became a devotee. He got more books. So that still works today. It's nice. Yes, please give your email. I'm not saying not to do that. But we should understand it's not a modern phenomenon. We've been outreaching through the books since the very beginning. Mm-hmm. The address list is there. And that's how you know the NABBT books from the other camps who put out Prabhupada's books, sometimes illicitly. They never put a list of ISKCON centers in their books. Mm. If you get a book that's supposedly a Hare Krishna book and it doesn't have a list of ISKCON centers, it's not a BBT book. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And you should immediately question this person. Where is this book coming from? Every BBT book has a list of ISKCON centers with addresses. Gainesville Temple is there. How to get in touch with Kalakanta Prabhu. If it doesn't have that information, then it's not a legitimate BBT book and you shouldn't buy it. Don't get it.
Thank you. One time, just to add to that, and so I think Kalidamana Prabhu's point, you can give your email. That's many devotees carry their card, you know, they'll give their contact information. If you'd like to follow up, it's like in fundraising, I learned years ago that people give money to people. They don't give to causes, they give to people. If they know somebody, they give money because they trust that person. So similarly, you meet somebody, if they're interested in Krishna, then you say, yeah, if you'd like to follow up, here's my email. I trust you. I was going to, you just reminded me of a statement Srila Prabhupada made many years ago that he told our book party that the day will come when any gentleman anywhere in the world will see a book and say, oh, does not say BBT, I don't want it. All right, any other comments or questions? Yes, Marash.
Green light. So thank you for a wonderful class. Greatly appreciated. And just to add one little tag to the last comment, there is no greater blessing that a devotee, no matter how high or how low you may be in the scale of or the level of advancement, everyone can say, may Krishna bless you unlimitedly. And you definitely are off the hook. You have no problem. May Srila Prabhupada bless you without limit. And that's the greatest blessing, because if you get that, you've got everything.
Yes.
So there's nothing further to be needed or wanted with such a blessing. Sometimes they say, but I want a blessing from you. So I says, I'm empty. I don't have any of the blessings. But I'm calling upon my most beloved friend and most beloved Savior to bless you. How could you even think that my blessing could even compare to Prabhupada's and Krishna's blessing? So usually at that point they say, well, that sounds okay. So, but that's thank not you. What I... I just wanted to tag on and thank Archita for a nice comment. But I wanted to mention one point in your in the class, and I'm very grateful that you spoke about that incredible story of Mukunda Das, that was on the Mahaprakash pastime, in which Lord Chaitanya appears as Lord Krishna for 21 hours continuously, giving out blessings like they were going out of style. So the interesting thing that always appealed to me, and what Lord Chaitanya was very strongly wanting to teach us, is that when he said, I will not give any blessings to, he said that I will not allow Mukunda to see me for 10 million lives. And the response to that was that as you mentioned so nicely, Mukunda began, yes, he began jumping and dancing up and down, clapping, and he was in complete ecstasy. Now, to not get the mercy to see the Lord for 10 million lives, you would think that someone would start crying profusely, as if all is ended, all is over. So we ask ourselves, well, why didn't Mukunda have that response? And that is because he never felt that he was worthy of seeing Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He was completely getting a gift. He was getting a blessing. He was getting a boon just to see him even once. But he was not going to be able to see him for 10 million lives. Well, so what? I don't deserve to see him for 1 second. That's his mentality.
Yes.
And that's why he felt that if I get to see him even in 10 million lives, even though I'm not worthy of seeing him at all, that is so wonderful, so blessed, so grace. I've just gotten the boon of boons. So then Lord Chaitanya said, after that, he said, Mukunda is jumping and dancing in ecstasy, and I wanted everyone to see how truly, deeply humble he is. Mm-hmm. And to teach he teaches us a lesson that none of us is worthy of seeing God, talking to God, even getting the guidance of God. And we get it as a gift, as his grace. We're all so sinful. We do so many wrongs. We do so many evils. And notwithstanding the very fact that we are doing even a little service to Krishna, it is such a huge service, because his perception of service is different than ours. And if you just give Krishna a little bit, he will respond with a lot bit. So that's really all I wanted to say.
Thank
is
you.
That we can follow in the footsteps of Mukunda, and if we don't think we're making any advancement, well, why should we? We make so many mistakes, we do so many wrongs, we have this and that. So why should we? And when we get a blessing, we should be jumping up and down.
Thank you.
That's all.
Thank you. That reminds me of a quick story that in India, Srila Prabhupada was upstairs in his room, and a postman came to the door with a letter for Prabhupada. And the secretary came and said, okay, I'll take it to him. He said, no, he has to sign for it. He said, well, okay, I'll take the paper up, and then he can sign it, and I'll bring it back. No, he has to sign it right here in front of me. I have to witness it personally. And he was really adamant, and finally, Prabhupada came down the stairs, and this postman gave him the letter and said, I have seen Swamiji. Other comments? Okay. So thank you very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.